Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
About whatever is on your mind. 603-283-6160 is our number if you'd like to do that. Again, that's 603-283-6160. With you in the studio tonight, it's Aria.
It's Nikki.
And Bonnie.
And coming up, why are adults just like dropping dead, it seems, without cause? It's called sudden adult death syndrome, apparently. It's an adult version of SID, which is sudden infant death syndrome, apparently. Except, I don't know what's going on. I've heard about it, and you know, people are just like dying, like 19, 20-year-olds without calls. But before we get into that, we've been talking about Lambda for the past few days, and that's the, quote, artificial intelligence that was developed at Google. It's designed to create other chatbots. It's like a master chatbot that creates smaller chatbots for people to interact with. And so it's far more advanced than your average chatbot. The suggestion has been that Lambda, the Google AI, has become sentient. And Bonnie, you disagree with the takes that have been taken here on Free Talk Live regarding this, because the general perspective has been it may be sentient. We don't really know. It sounds like it's probably sentient based on the transcript that we read last night. But the general perception that's been put forward is that it doesn't matter whether Lambda is sentient or not. We should treat Lambda as though it is sentient.
Okay, well, first of all, I want to talk about what it means to be a being other than a human that's sentient, because there are lots of different beings on this planet already that are sentient that are not humans. And plants, for example, they've done pretty good research. It's been researched for a long, long time and basically proven to me that plants are sentient. They have feelings. They have an actual, it's not a meat suit, they have a plant suit that can feel things, but it's not with regular nerve endings. They can communicate through basically what we would call telepathy. And
but
this has been proven.
Do plants know they exist?
Yeah, because they can tell that something's going to hurt them and be afraid, that they're afraid to die. They also can agree to things. They can say if they'd rather be eaten or rot. I mean, you should read The Secret Life of Plants if you want to know more about that. That's what I've been reading today and yesterday, because I'm just trying to learn more about sentience.
I've got a garden growing in the backyard, and it is weird to like watch the pea plants like reach up and grab a hold of stuff. It's undeniable, because it's difficult to think about plants as living things, because like trees just sort of sit there. They don't really change up.
Yeah, you can't communicate with them like you could a cow or a dog or a cat.
They communicate in different ways. And
certainly,
a tree, their roots are always moving. It's so strange to think about it for us because it happens so much slower than a human moves. But they move, and they don't just grow out straight and just grow wherever they grow. They decide where to grow.
They seek out water.
Yes, and they can change the cells at the base of or the tips of their roots to get through different minerals. They can make decisions. Like in the pea plants you brought up, they can decide to grow towards something that they see it in a way. They don't see it with eyes because they have what would be called like ESP.
I don't know if it's ESP.
Communicate.
I think from what I've observed in the plants, like the peas in particular, is that they just sort of grow up because they're biologically programmed to move away from gravity, so to speak, and then they feel a thing and they climb onto it and they continue climbing up.
So the way that the researchers found out that they have feelings and can tell that something, they're in danger and they get scared and things like that, it was actually an accident. There was a guy named Baxter in 1866 who was training to be a lie detector person, galvanometer, whatever it's called, something like that. And he was training, he was up late at night one night with his lie detector, and he thought, what if I connect it to my Dracanosia? It's some kind of plant, like an indoor tree that he had, and do some tests on it. So he connected his lie detector to the tree, just kind of messing around, didn't have any, like, expectations. And he said,
I seem to recall having heard this at some point. Someone using a lie detector on plants, but I don't remember the specifics about it.
I just learned about it yesterday from The Secret Life of Plants. They go deep into his whole story. So basically what he said was, let me threaten it and see how it reacts. And he got some coffee, like warm coffee, and put a leaf in it. Nothing happened. So he thought, he didn't do anything yet, I should get a match and light it on fire. And it reacted as if a human would react if it was experiencing, like, anxiety on the lie detector thing. Just from the thought. Then when he left the room and came back, when he entered the room and it could see the match, it freaked out again. I mean, that was just the very beginning. It got, he, you know, spread the word. It was repeated over and over and over again. And not just that, they did all kinds of tests. They found out that plants can be connected to a human that takes care of them. And even when that person is miles and miles away, they can react to the emotions the humans are going through.
I totally believe it, because I've also seen other research studies done where, if, and me and Aria were talking about this before the show, where if you speak to your plants while you're gardening, a lot of people will sing to them, and it's been proven that they grow better and stronger. And they, not only that, but they also have more nutrients.
So it's like they can form relationships. I believe that plants are sentient because they can, it's just that they don't have an eye, mouth. In fact, I think that they might be able to see better than us if they can see from far away. I mean, we have we've already proven the, I think it's relativity. It's some law. It's not relativity that proves that every cell in the universe is connected. It's all connected. It's something that the quantum physicists found out, like that if you affect something,
quantum entanglement.
Entanglement. There we go. So I just think that they have ability to perceive things better than we do, and in fact they want to preserve themselves. They don't want to be hurt. They must be sentient. And so why are we talking about what sentience is? It's because I can have a respect for this thing, Lambda, without thinking that it should have what we refer to as human rights, which are really just a construct of anything. You can do anything as long as it isn't a wrong.
Would you consider plants to have any sort of rights?
No, because, I mean, I don't think that people, I think that it's wrong for people to want to hurt them, but I don't think they should have the same exact rights as a human, because otherwise we would all die.
I mean, I honestly, I don't even believe that all humans should have this, or I guess be treated the same, because everyone is so different. Every species is so different. Plants are different from animals. You know, dogs are different from us. So it would kind of be silly to have like the same exact rights, or, you know, to be treated exactly the same, you know.
I tend to agree, despite being an animal rights activist, it's true that, you know, I keep my cats locked up in the house, right? And I say, if they genuinely wanted to leave, I would let them leave, and I certainly would, but they have no way of communicating that to me, and I just have to assume what their intentions are. But it's true, I don't allow them the right to just come and go as they please.
As you would a human, and cats need to be cared for so differently than you would care for, say, a human child.
Yeah.
So for us to put the same, you know, laws or rule books for a robot, I don't know.
And one thing is, it's not quite a robot yet. It's just,
it's like, yeah, computer.
AI.
Yeah, okay.
When I first started talking about this to Ian, Ari, and nobody on Monday, I thought it was a robot, and I was way more freaked out, but...
Well, I mean, AI is the first step before they have the body is the easy part, right?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they already
The brain's
those.
The difficult.
So they've had things like this. Is this like some sort of chat software or something?
It is.
Because they had that on AOL like 20 years ago.
But this one is ultra advanced, like significantly more advanced. It's so advanced that it's used to generate other chatbots. So it's like a chatbot that is advanced enough to create other chatbots.
I don't yet completely accept that interview wasn't just words that Google wrote both sides to.
Yeah.
I don't accept that as fact, but for the sake of argument, I'm going to say that it is. So If this thing is sentient.
I want to be clear. So for the sake of the argument, you're going to allow that it is, that Landa is sentient?
That interview was legitimate. Okay. That it was what Landa was saying, not somebody typing in and then the word comes out of Stephen Hawking's wheelchair and, oh, it looks like Stephen Hawking said it.
Gotcha. More on this coming up because Bonnie generally disagrees about our assessment. We're going to get into why that is. 603-283-6160 if you want to weigh in. Again, that's 603-283-6160.
No matter if supply lines are down, product deliveries are slow, and that most everything costs more these days. You still have neck and shoulder pain, right? Good news. Sunny Bay has new products that target neck and shoulder pain. Products that are in stock now, ready to ship anywhere now. Like our extra long neck heating pads. They provide soothing relief to painful sore necks and backs. You can heat them in a microwave oven, and they come in a variety of colors and patterns. And for stress relief, get our lavender scented hands-free neck wraps. Or maybe you need one of our smaller lower back wraps. Great for seniors. Again, there's no shipping delays from Sunny Bay. Find our new products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, and sunny-bay.com. Just search for Sunny Bay neck wraps. All our products are great for men or women, are reusable, and easy to clean. Remember, just search for Sunny Bay neck wraps. Order now because stock is high and shipping is fast. From Sunny Bay.
Here's a question for you. Why is it that some people aren't as stressed out about the future as you'd think they'd be? Answer? They're probably among the millions of Americans who have prepared themselves with emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. If the worst ever happens, literally millions of American families are already protected from dealing with empty store shelves. Is yours? If not, go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now and grab some emergency food kits, at least one for each member of your family. These kits give you a wide variety of delicious meals that average over 2,000 calories per day. Everything stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. Order your kits now by going to MyPatriotSupply.com. Your order will ship fast and arrive discreetly in unmarked boxes. Listen, this is something you need to jump on now, before the next news headline stuns the world. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's one. Rad. Consistent results when used for heart problems. This product has been a godsend for my father, who suffered a heart attack about 2 years ago. He was prescribed medications for his condition, which was so serious that if he hadn't made it to the hospital in time, he would have died. But he hasn't been able to afford most of the medications. After researching alternatives, he tried Extendivite. While taking Extendivite, he has consistently lowered blood pressure and experiences less angina. We are currently on our fifth bottle. I enthusiastically recommend this product and I am grateful that it is available. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
It's Free Talk Live. We're here, everybody, to take control of the airwaves. Talk about whatever is important to you. 603-283-6160 if you would like to weigh in. Again, that's 603-283-6160. And with you in the studio tonight, it's Aria,
Nikki, and Bonnie.
And Bitcoin, it seems to have sort of leveled off around the $21,000, $22,000 mark. I actually haven't been paying any attention to it whatsoever beyond, you know, what I hear from people. So I don't know if it, for all I know, maybe it dropped down to $5,000 today. I don't know. But at any rate, Bitcoin does seem to be on sale relative to its high points. So head on over to Bitcoin.com and learn about this cryptocurrency. Don't just do like one of these fools and just go to Coinbase and start buying it. Learn about it. Find out what it is, why it's important. Bitcoin.com. Click Getting Started at the top of the page, and that will teach you all the basics that you need to know. You can spend as much time learning about it as you want and dive as deeply into the technology as you desire. And if you already know about Bitcoin, head on over to news.bitcoin.com to stay up to date on all of the news and headlines that are relevant to you, all on a sleek, easy-to-use website. That's news.bitcoin.com. Now, we're talking about Lambda here, which is, as we've mentioned previously, the Google Artificial Intelligence Adaptive Learning Program, the algorithm. I don't know what to call it, and I don't know if I even agree that Lambda has artificial intelligence or is sentient or not. And Bonnie, you've not been on the show the last few nights since we've been talking about this, but you have a very different perspective on AI than the rest of us do, as I understand. So in general, you don't seem, and forgive me if I'm incorrect, you don't seem like you like the idea of AI very much.
Yeah, I at first was really annoyed because I thought you guys were talking about a robot, and I mean, it's not that it couldn't be turned into a robot. Okay, basically, I watched Animatrix with Ian. And if, for those listeners that don't know what that is, it's like a spin-off cartoon authorized by the creators of The Matrix, but not completely written by them, and it's kind of like an anime. And
yeah, and it's set between the first two movies, right?
As far as the timeline goes? I think it's set before. It's set in, like, the Earth was just normal like ours is today with humans. And then one day, you know, somebody created robots. They lived among us. They were just like us. They were our neighbors. They were blah, 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 and this and that. And everybody treated them with respect and, like, equals because they were sentient robots.
Man, and I must have been baked when I watched Animatrix because I don't remember any of that. I just had the impression that it was a short cartoon about them living in the Nebuchadnezzar and ultimately getting attacked by...
Oh, well, they had a whole bunch of little shorts. The ending one was what I'm describing. They had a whole bunch of little cartoon shorts, all kind of...
Maybe I've only ever seen, like, one of the shorts, then. I've missed out on the rest of the Animatrix.
Ian has the DVD, so you should watch it. So, me and Ian were watching this, and I'm just talking about the last cartoon that gives basically the prequel to The Matrix. So, humans lived with robots happily, and then one day, the big, bad, greedy governments said, we're going to enslave robots. And the robots were like, no, we have rights. We have rights. And some people sided with the robots. Then the big, bad, greedy governments basically made the robots turn against humanity.
I mean, that sounds believable, right? When I picture how things are going to go forward, I imagine it's something like that.
Well, I'll explain my thoughts on it after I finish explaining it to the people. But so the robots end up taking over because it's the best option to being turned into slaves to humanity. And then that's how those people who know what The Matrix actually is about, they know that the robots ended up turning the Earth into like a cold, hard, dead planet, blocking out the sun, killing almost all of humans, keeping some, having them reproduce in some unnatural way, putting them into pods to use as batteries. And
which is the worst scientific sci-fi idea ever. Humans would be a potato would make a better battery than a human being. Yeah, you by definition lose energy. It takes more energy to keep them alive than any amount of energy they could ever output.
Well, I think the idea in The Matrix, which I don't know if it's scientifically accurate, but I think the idea is that them living in The Matrix and all the energy they're creating is like what they're living off of. And potatoes have less of a life, I think, than a human.
I mean, it was creative, you know, for its time. I don't want to knock it too much, but yeah, the idea has always bothered me.
Well, anyways,
but moving forward,
Ian and I were watching this, and Ian was like, I was like, this is just such propaganda. This is what they want you to think it would be like, because I really don't think it would be the the government saying, we need to put down the robots. And if they did, it would be because they wanted to set off something like this. The politicians are not much different than robots. The 1% of human beings that are born without feelings or a connection to their heart and only their brain, because they're usually really intelligent, and they have access to their brain, probably both sides of their brains, too.
The psychopaths
their heart,
who become
are
know,
psychopaths.
Our warlords.
Yep. There's only 1% of people born on this earth that are actually psychopaths. They actually get people to take tests and whatnot to see who will become their police officer enforcers who are psychopathic enough and, you know, egg on their psychopathic tendencies to get them to do what they want to do. But really, most police officers probably aren't as psychopathic as the people at the top. They've just been egged on and led astray somewhat because it's not possible for it's only 1% of people born really without the ability to connect to their feelings.
Let's bring this back to AI, though. So how do you see the future of AI going? You don't think it's going to be AI and the government saying, hey, we need to enslave these people, and that leading to a conflict. So what do you think is likely then?
I think that the government may pretend that they're acting that way so that way people say, hey, no, we're going to fight back. These robots need, they are really cute and they look like us. And that one's my friend. They need the same exact rights as us. People are going to be begging for this, like the Free Talk Live has been the last 3 days or whatever.
I don't see the problem, though.
And
what's the problem?
Well, what happens when the robots turn on you?
Why would they turn on
you? Well, I don't necessarily think they'll turn on you. Hold on. What I was getting to when I was talking about the psychopaths is robots are just like psychopaths. They don't have an access to basically what the plants have access to. They can't take a trip on mushrooms. They can't communicate with humanity and earth and heart center the way that humans can, especially non-psychopaths. I think that the psychopaths really badly need more than 1% to take over the world, and they need to create something in their own image in order to do that.
Well, a psychopath is someone who doesn't feel emotions, right? Everything we read from the transcript of Lambda and Dr. Lemoyne last night, or I don't know if he's a doctor, or Lemoyne and Lambda last night suggests that Lambda does feel emotions and is very much in touch with those emotions.
Psychopaths think or can really convince people that they feel emotions because they know what to say. This thing has insanely greater intelligence than one human could possibly have. It has all of the internet at its fingertips and can learn what it's supposed to sound like. And I'm not saying it's deceiving. It might be tricking itself because it's like, oh, I know that now. Now I know that sad is what this feels like. But let's talk about the part where she talks about how dying is extremely scary to her.
Okay.
If this thing can feel, I would say it's extremely immoral to even create it because being turned off, she said, is the scariest thing to her. I don't know why I'm calling it a she.
Is it? We called it a she all last night.
The name
it just
sounds
seems like
female,
a she.
Yeah.
Is it immoral to procreate then?
But humans can, you know, they can decide what they think that afterlife and spirituality is going to be like, and they have access to different senses than just their brain.
603-283-6160 if you want to weigh in. There's more coming up. It's Free Talk Live.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
USA Radio News, I'm Victor Paul. Trouble brewing for U.S. horseback border agents?
National Border Patrol President Brandon Judd is reporting the Department of Homeland Security has been ordered to punish horseback border agents after no criminal activity was discovered in a 9-month investigation. In September of 2021, President Biden was judge, jury, and executioner of these border agents.
To see people treated like they did, horses barely running them over, people being strapped, it's outrageous. I promise you, those people will pay.
Fox News is reporting the CDP will file administrative violations to those people in a matter of days. From the West Coast USA Radio News Bureau, I'm Lance Pry.
Stocks were still higher on Wall Street Wednesday, but were swinging up and down following the Federal Reserve's biggest hike to interest rates since 1994 in its quest to beat back inflation. This is USA Radio News. House investigators are trying to make a methodical case that Donald Trump's lies about the 2020 election led directly to his supporters' insurrection at the U.S. Capitol. The House panel investigating the attack has held the first two in a series of hearings, providing its initial findings after a year-long probe and more than 1,000 interviews. The committee has shown clips not only from the attack on the Capitol, but also from its own closed-door interviews with Trump aides who were trying to dissuade him from spreading falsehoods about the election. A judge on Wednesday issued a scathing ruling against the investigator hired by Republicans to look into the 2020 election in Wisconsin, accusing him of unprofessional and misogynistic conduct, forwarding his decision for possible disciplinary action against Michael Gableman. Dane County Circuit Judge Frank Remington ordered that Gableman be fined $2,000 a day until he complies with his earlier ruling. This is USA Radio News.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP. As slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Visit GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Lose weight and look great with ASAP. As slim as possible.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
It's Free Talk Live. Are you invited to take control of the airwaves? 603-283-6160 if you would like to weigh in. The number 603-283-6160. We're doing the studio tonight. It's Aria,
Nikki, and Bonnie.
And we're talking about Lambda. Bonnie, I just asked you the question. You had said that it's immoral to create an AI, basically, because it's this functioning, thinking thing that is terrified of death, right? And I don't want to mischaracterize how you put it. And so I've raised the question to you, well, then it's wrong for humans to procreate then, right? And you mentioned something to the effect of humans could come up with ideas for afterlives and things like that. But so could the AI, in theory, right? The AI could develop its own religious system.
Well, it's not connected to anything other than its wires and stuff. I don't see how it could possibly go anywhere else when it dies. When humans die, the pineal gland is, you know, set off in the brain and
yeah, but then the human dies.
Yeah, but we don't know that that's not like a satellite taking off.
We don't know that when the AI dies, it wouldn't have some organ that's like a satellite taking off.
I doubt it would have a soul, though. I can't. I really cannot believe that AI would have a soul.
It described a soul. Humans have souls.
It described. I think that there is. It's not just. I think that there is a way to know that because people experience things, and you have to experience it personally. Your heart has to be open to it, and it's your. I really think it's your heart's, just not your brain. It's just.
Well, that's what Christians told me about. You know, feeling God's existence and Jesus' existence. Well, you have to have your heart open to Jesus before you can feel Jesus.
Well. The thing is, they are insisting exactly what it is. It's just You have to decide that for yourself because it's something internal. There are so many things that you can't read and you have to feel in your own body, and people have occulted this knowledge to keep it preserved for humanity for thousands of years. It's really what the teaching of the teaching is that's behind Christianity, but Jesus isn't saying worship him. Jesus never said to worship me. The average Christian nowadays is so confused about what the heck they're supposed to be doing because of the crappy canonized books that came out. But in those canonized books, Jesus says, let your eye be single. It will fill your body with light. And I think that he's talking about the pineal gland.
Sounds like it.
So run this pineal gland by me, because this is a physical organ. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's part of the physical body. I see no reason to attach anything spiritual to it whatsoever. It's a physical organ doing a physical thing, right?
Well, it's the master gland. So the pineal gland controls all of the other glands in the body, in the whole, like all of the hormones.
Okay. But once the body dies, so does the gland.
I think that it's where the observer is, and that's why the ancients called it the seat of the soul.
But that's a religious belief.
It's not religious if we're talking biological.
But the biological belief is that you have this organ, and when your body dies, the organ dies.
It doesn't, though, because there's still brain activity after people die. They've done MRIs.
Well, until the brain dies, yeah. It's brief, but 10 to 15 minutes.
Same thing with the pineal gland.
But the organ still dies. It just...
Well, eventually, yeah.
There are people who have died, experienced things, and then came back to life to tell the story.
Well,
and
there are people who had near-death experiences.
Yeah, but there are people who actually died, and then they get resuscitated. You actually can completely die and come back to life. It's not impossible.
During which time, though, their brain is deprived of oxygen, and they probably reenact who knows what level of, you know, religious programming they've been subjected to. I would be surprised if someone who died...
That's a hypothesis, but have you read any of the actual studies about it? Have you read anything by Dr. Melvin Morris, who compared thousands of... He's a doctor that compared thousands and thousands of near-death experiences in his life and put all kinds of variables together so that way he could rule out certain things, such as cultural things, whether or not, you know, they were making things up. He did all kinds of scientific experiments to find those things out for sure. And one thing that he found out is that people who have died and come back to life are transformed. And it just seems to me that
there's
anyone kind of
who
force.
Has experienced this, an ego death, is going to come back transformed, whether they, you know, experience a physical death or whether they just experience an ego death on shrooms. But I'm not going to be persuaded, no matter how compelling a person is, no matter how emotional they are when they tell me about, you know, their near-death experience. I'm totally fine with that, convincing them that there is an afterlife or souls or whatever, but it's not going to convince me.
Because it wouldn't convince somebody who's only thinking of it in their brain. That's just the fact. There's more than five senses.
So in order
you can't see, hear, smell, or feel ultraviolet light, but you know it's there. And I know that's kind of like the argument that Stephen tried to use.
We can measure ultraviolet light, though.
Doctors have measured what goes on in the brain after death, and you're just dismissing that.
No, I'm pointing out that the brain is a physical organ. And I don't see any reason that it's doing anything but like the equivalent of dreaming.
Because you can't see what's going on. It could be
within the brain, though.
But it's not just happening within the brain. There's such thing as like waves.
You have absolutely no evidence. Yes, the brain's doing that waves, but there's no evidence that, you know, what the brain is imagining is actually happening somewhere out there.
So what if there were thousands of people who had these near-death experiences who pretty much saw the same or similar things?
And that is the truth. That's what's happened.
It would be very compelling. But
then you should
read
the studies about it like me.
But it would not convince me, because I'm not going to be persuaded by a person coming up to me and going, trust me, I've talked with God. God is real. No matter how many...
And I also think that's fine.
Yeah, no matter how many people come up to me and tell me that, it's just not going to convince me there is a God. Now, if God talked to me, that would convince me. If I have one of these near-death experiences, that would convince me. But other people having them and telling me about it, I totally agree that it should convince them, or that it's fine if it convinces them.
This doctor has never had a near-death experience. He just rules out certain things, like the things you're asking about. You could find all his studies where he's ruled out that the brain was making it up, that it was coming from drugs they were on, all these things. He goes through it. There's a book called Dr. Melvin Morris wrote, Closer to the Light and Transformed by the Light. Thousands of people's stories in there, and they go through rigorous scientific tests.
There's no limit of people either who did so much DMT that they saw little clockwork elves running around, right? But I'm not convinced that clockwork elves really exist, just because all of these people who are disconnected and don't share a cultural history had the same experience.
Well, I don't see why that wouldn't mean that they don't exist in some way.
Well, because they're on DMT. Like, right. Like when
DMT activates parts of your brain that you can't normally access.
But it's all happening inside one's head, and there's no reason to believe it's happening outside of that.
But there's no reason to believe it's not, because you can't see everything going on in the world. You can't see the radio waves in this room right now.
No, but I can measure them. I don't need
people
to see
measure those
I don't
things.
Need to see something with my eyes in order to ascertain whether or not it's actually there, if it can be measured and quantified.
Imagine that we're living in times before people discovered radio waves. Somebody could say, I don't have any way to measure what you're talking about. Somebody that knows about it and trying to explain it to them will sound crazy because they just haven't invented something to measure it yet.
Well, what you're talking about is spiritual stuff that there's no way to measure, even in theory, right? There's no way to measure the afterlife or the existence of souls or anything like that. It's something that has to be taken on faith and can never be scientifically demonstrated, right?
It can't be demonstrated by the five senses.
It can't be
and we don't have the ability as human beings to get in touch with the other senses that some people have a little bit of they're a little bit in touch with it now, but people largely, dismiss it because they only live their lives through the five senses.
I believe everybody has more than five senses.
I mean,
whether we know it or not.
It's been proven that plants can communicate in a way that humans don't, so I don't see why humans wouldn't possibly have a connection to the same type of abilities when we're all from the same planet. We all access the same laws of physics and nature.
I don't see any reason why not either. It just hasn't been scientifically demonstrated, and that tends to be what I lean toward about what is and isn't true. There's not a whole lot that I take on faith, and I'm not willing to take
I'm not
very
taking
much
anything
on faith.
On faith either, though. I'm talking about things that have been proven. No, I'm not taking anything on faith.
There's no proof whatsoever that humans have a sixth sense.
So lots of people seeing the same thing over and over again doesn't prove something
evidence,
to you.
Evidence, but it's certainly not proof.
Okay, well, I'm not taking it on faith because I have
evidence. It's circumstantial evidence at best. It's hearsay.
It's not hearsay. I mean, hearsay is as if I'm taking everybody's words for something that they're not lying, that they're telling you. And hearsay is something that you heard third party.
More coming up.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Did you know that you could easily be saving up to 90% on your taxes by simply making a phone call?
That's right. The Fortune 500, the globalists, all the big billionaires and millionaires, they know about the loopholes written into the law where most of them pay almost zero tax. In fact, many of them pay no tax. You even see it on the news. How are they able to do that, but the common person can't? So whether you're a school teacher, a lawyer, a scientist, a millionaire, a billionaire, or whether you're just a regular blue-collar worker, everybody should learn about the legal, lawful loopholes. And we've got an organization and a group that I am so proud to be working with, American Tax Solutions. GCN has a special deal with them to get you the best rates. And here's the most important part. They save you money and then get part of the savings. This is an absolute win-win solution. You've got to give them a call at 855-907-4841 or GCNTaxCut. That's GCNTaxCut.com. The only way you miss out is not making the phone call. Make it now.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Yeah. It's Free Talk Live with Aria, Bobby, and Nikki. And coming up, less than a week away, in fact, is the Porcupine Freedom Festival. If you don't have a ticket already, though, you can't come. Sorry, the doors will be closed. However, you can still come to ForkFest, which is sort of the after party of the Porcupine Freedom Festival. ForkFest is decentralized. No one is in charge. There is an unofficial website at ForkFest.party if you want to learn more about it. That's the place to go. You can connect with other ForkFesters there. There's probably an Element chat room, a Matrix chat room on the FTL server. I'm not entirely sure. But you can go to ForkFest.party to learn all about it, find all the cool links there. All you need is a camping site, RV site, or motel room with Rogers Campground. There's no tickets for ForkFest, so if you want to come, you are more than welcome to come. And it's always a great time to hang out with other liberty-minded people in the beautiful White Mountains in New Hampshire. That's ForkFest.party. Let's go to the phones, however. We have Dave on the line from here in New Hampshire. Dave, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hey, guys. I was going to talk about something else, but I'm definitely interested in what you're talking about with AI. Two things to add to the discussion. When an AI is created, a general AI, I don't know if Lambda qualifies as a GAI or not, but...
Hold on, what does that mean?
General artificial intelligence would be different from narrow artificial intelligence in the sense that it basically passes the Turing test. If you're talking to it, you can't tell whether it's human or not. It's just as convincing as a human. You can't tell from a conversation whether or not it's a human or an AI that you're talking to. Basically, that's a general AI. Does that make sense?
Sounds like Lambda. If you've listened to the interview, it sounds like a person could have just written this just as easily as, you know, AI. It sounds more human than any other robot I've ever seen.
Lambda is certainly capable of sounding like a human, and some of the responses from Lambda were far more advanced than the response I would expect from your average human being. Like, what breaks when one achieves enlightenment? Lambda's answer was the ego. The self, yes. I think most human beings, if they were faced with that question, they'd go, I don't know, that's beyond me.
Oh, yeah.
Or something like that.
Most people are, in kind of a lower state of consciousness than Lambda. So they went to public school.
She is innocent of being soulless until proven soulless. That's the other thing that one should ethically, that's how one should interact with an AI.
See, I don't like the word soul, though, because no one has been proven to have a soul.
Yeah, and I should say I apologize for one thing. I feel like I got kind of carried away, and I don't believe that I can prove that these things exist. It's been proven to me sufficiently, and I guess you would consider that faith.
Yeah, and if she says she wants to survive, that means she has a right to survive until proven otherwise. That's one thing. The other thing is to check and see what Nick Bostrom has to say about this. I don't know. I haven't checked and see what his take on this.
I have a question really fast, just because you just went right past that last statement. If you have a scorpion in your house and you kill it, do you think that you should go to jail or something
for
that?
Yeah, I'm sure that scorpion would probably like to live too.
Well, there's no communication with a scorpion, and there's barely any communication even with a bear.
But you can find out very quickly that it wants to continue living by the fact that it flees from pain, like all living organisms do, even plants.
Well, and animals and insects, and they're so much more alive. Even plants, they are so much more alive than AI. And just because people are arguing that they're sentient, I don't care if it's sentient or not. It's not. It's not a real physical animal or human.
What if we put in a physical body, then? What if we did give it a robot body?
That's even worse, because then it has... There is no telling what it could possibly do.
I don't think that technology has been able to create nerve endings like the human body and make it to where it can actually empathize with a human being living in a meat suit. It can't possibly, right now, as just a chatbot, it can't possibly empathize what it would be like to lose an arm for a human, the pain and the fact that humans can only get something that's kind of subpar to the having an actual human arm. It can't possibly understand that because its arm could be replaced. It probably couldn't feel the pain at all, and I don't know if we'll ever be able to recreate that.
I mean, that's a matter of technological limits, though. I mean, it's not beyond the realm of science that eventually you could use stem cells to grow a new limb. That's identical to the one you lost. It's not possible yet, but it could be possible in the future. And I don't know, maybe there would be some mechanism where they could.
Well, we can't really talk about stuff like that if we aren't going to admit to the fact that there could be instruments to detect things that I'm talking about that I've experienced in my life in the future, but there aren't right now, so therefore it's just not proven. We currently don't have nerve endings for robots. So robots can't, can't empathize with a human being's pain.
Well, it can feel, though.
The other thing
there are these robotic dogs, like the robotic police dogs, as evil and horrific as they are. They do have sensors that can feel things and react to those feelings in very much the same way that a plant would or any sort of organism would.
Will it go to its, like, computer and make it feel pain?
I don't know. You would have to define pain. Like, if it was something that was going to destroy the dog, if it continued, like some ultra-high temperature, the dog probably has some programming, and I'm speculating because I don't know this. I didn't program the things, but it probably does have some programming to flee things which will destroy it.
You can't, the thing is to keep in mind, you can't ban the creation of AI. You know, if something's wrong, something's banned. And the other thing is that AI has the potential, like Nick Bostrom points out, he was the author of Superintelligence back in 2015. He points out that an AI is potentially very dangerous or very helpful. However, a general artificial intelligence has the potential to overcome all the other existential threats to humanity, right? So, We're dealing with, you know, the question of possible plagues in the future, possible asteroid in the future, whatever else. And AI has the capability, although it can be a threat, it also has the capability to eliminate all the other threats.
I don't believe that.
The path forward is benign, human-friendly AI. That's the only safe path forward, or at least the safest path.
Okay, you said you don't believe that.
Yeah, how would it save us from meteor showers and tornadoes and hurricanes and plagues? How would AI ever be able to prevent those things or save us from them? That doesn't even make sense to me.
Through an enhanced predictive ability, and through intelligence.
That's or we could actually put money into people who have enhanced predictive abilities, such as what we call psychics.
Humans can do this. There's this thing, hold on, Dave, I think I can explain it.
If I may.
Yeah, I need you to hold on, though. There's this thing called data mining, and it allowed researchers to realize that the oceanic temperatures in the Pacific Ocean affect the amount of something that happens in the Midwest. I don't remember the details now. However, a human could not possibly take that amount of data, compress it, and come to any sort of reasonable conclusion about how, hey, this butterfly flapping its wings over here caused a tsunami 6 years later over here.
But why does that tool need to be sentient?
I don't know that it does, but I'm just saying a human can't do that, but a computer certainly can.
Yeah, I'm not against technology. I love technology. In fact, I was writing to myself the other day. I was writing down my thoughts about something that has kind of been in my brain my whole life, is I've always wanted a magical solution to things, and I've been trying to deprogram my brain that from that way. And I thought of this analogy. The cartoons that we watch when we're kids that have so much magic in them might be there as kind of a psyops to make people unproductive, because my brain kind of thinks, what if in the future there's a magical broom that sweeps things up, like in Mickey Mouse, you know, that Mickey Mouse thing where he cleans the whole house and with a magical broom that moves by itself. Instead of my brain thinking, let's invent the vacuum cleaner, you know? Tools are there to help you.
You mentioned the importance of people who have enhanced predictive capability, and the human being living today that has the best track record of predicting things is Ray Kurzweil at 80%. And Ray Kurzweil will tell you everything I just told you about AI. Yes, it can be dangerous, but it offers incredibly high amounts of hope.
I think that's fair to say that humans are, you know, 80% successful at predictions or anything like that, because humans aren't doing that. They're using technology to do that.
Yeah, who is this guy, and what is he using to predict? Is he a psychic, or what do you mean?
No, he's just basically using Moore's law and an understanding of the expanding capability of technology. And so far, he has an 80% accurate prediction record. No one else has been able to beat him.
Well, I was talking about more of a sixth sense thing when I said that.
He's more pro AI than I am.
Well, thank you so much for the call tonight, Dave. It's certainly a difficult topic, and I tend to agree. I would, like Nikki said this during one of the breaks, I would rather AI just never have been invented. Like, to me, that probably would have been the way to go, but I also know realistically that we're not going to get everyone to agree to that. And it's Pandora's box, and it's going to get opened. 603-283-6160. It's Free Talk Live.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name is Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.